Blog Talk Radio.
That's the book for me. That's the book for me.
RadioTorRadio.com, and also now I'm going to play something. This is from Blair Lynn, and this is called The Perfection of Beauty here on Trippy Tori.
Beauty is sold in exchange for a dime. Nothing to attract us to you, yet we worship your creation as fine. Captivated by its forbidden fruit, pleasing our senses so we suppress the truth and eat the lie. Media's fig leaf, deadening our soul and mind. Sin, blinding us to you. The only objective beauty that's truly absolute, hidden in the symmetry of your goodness, glory, and truth. Each attribute working harmoniously, justice with patience, wrath with graciousness, omnipotence with humility, long-suffering with faithfulness, each a note to a sweet melody, the ultimate hymn entitled God's Beauty, immutable. No change, cause dimes get lost, daydreaming in dark gutters, unable to hear the call to wake up. They the noose, dripping honeysuckle lips, pasted on with MAC makeup. If they truly beheld your beauty, you'd make magazines and Mattel go bankrupt. You sent your beloved to be lifted up on a beautiful, seemingly ugly cross, the visible image of your hiddenness. Only you are beautiful and yet invisible. True beauty is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, sanctify our worldly minds. Your complexion is unappealing to lustful eyes. Besides, apart from new birth in Christ, sinners beholding your holy beauty would die. Therefore, beauty residing in the eye of the beholder is a lie. It is found in the beautiful one, the most high.
Theology is the study of God, and it's very important. Doxology is an expression of praise to God. So, the point here is that all theology should ultimately lead to doxology. If theology doesn't lead to doxology, then we've actually missed the point of theology. So if you have theology without doxology, you just have dead, cold orthodoxy, which is horrible, right? On the other side, you have the people who say, forget about theology, I just want to praise, right? But if you have doxology without theology, you actually have idolatry. Because it's just a random expression of praise, but it's not actually informed by the truth of who God is. So God is concerned with both. He's concerned with an accurate understanding of Him, and that accurate understanding of Him leading to a response of praise, adoration, and worship towards Him.
Come on, Lord. lead you. Hey, who can escape from death number two? Hey, Lord Jesus, come.
Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Ladies and gentlemen, a moment of silence for the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Come quickly, Lord.
Come quickly, Lord.
Come quickly, Lord.
Come quickly, Lord.
All the elect.
All the elect gather round their Christ.
Gather round.
See our names in the Lamb's book of life. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Death swallowed up, triumph of the King.
Hey.
Where is your victory? Where is your sting?
Hey.
Worthy is the Lamb, as the song will sing.
Hey.
Come,
hey.
Lord Jesus,
hey.
Come.
Hey. Hey.
That was Shannon, and it's featuring Joint Heirs, called Come, Lord Jesus, and it's from the Lyrical Theology Part 2 Doxology. That's one of the most recent albums from Shannon. And of course, before that, we had the that was Doxology Intro, and that's also by Shannon. And I think we're going to play one more from the Doxology, Lyrical Theology Part 2 Doxology. That's his album, Shylin, and this one is called Be Glorified, and it's based on Psalm 55 in the Bible, and it also features Chris Lee Covens. Thanks for listening. Truth Be Told.
Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. This is a promise from God, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And in this, God is glorified.
Yeah. Gracious God, please hear I cry.
It's the true God they're hating. The plot of Satan to intoxicate the population. on the way to their graves, their slaves, to the prince of the power of the airwaves. His tunes are blasphemous, the fumes are hazardous, the masses get consumed, it's doomed for the pacifist. We are not immune, we were goons and savages, the bridegroom snatches from the tomb like Lazarus. So nowadays we conspire in the laboratory, plotting ways for Messiah to grab the glory. It's mandatory, cause Jesus owns everything. We get to sing precious things when we rep the king. To those living hard Christian lives going through, I'm pointing you to Psalm 55:22.
Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will give strength to endure.
He gives strength, y'all.
You'll stand firm forevermore.
Yeah.
He's glorified. He's glorified. God is just, he will repay.
He will repay.
At the cross or on judgment day.
And the Lord will save me. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage. For many are arrayed against me. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in you. Yes, be glorified, Lord. Word up.
There, let's see what we have here. How did you say this happened again?
I was playing basketball.
Basketball, eh? Never really understood the game myself.
Ow!
I see it hurts a little. Well, broken arms usually do smart quite a bit. Bleeding a little there, too. Tell you what I'll do. I'll stick this band-aid on the cut, and it should stop the bleeding, and I'll give you some of these pills to make it hurt not so much. There you go. All set.
Doesn't he need a cast?
Oh, I'm sure he will be fine. Now it's time for my lunch. Oh, boy, I just love the peanut butter and jelly with the pickles.
Are we just treating symptoms rather than giving the cure? Like putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm, pro-life rallies and marriage amendments, though good, are really just treating symptoms. Our culture no longer believes that the Bible is the final authority for life. We need to rebuild the foundations of our faith. To learn how, go to AnswersRadio.com. A message from Answers in Genesis.
Yeah. The other day, this guy was like, yo, man, what's good with all that theology? Give us something practical. And I was like, word? Okay, check this out.
I know it's deep, but when you eat, you find it says,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah, fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union,
the hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you eat, you find it says,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah, fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union,
yeah. Our topic of discussion is beyond human comprehension. The infinite God has made a super condescension. The kind of vengeance nobody could have anticipated, precipitated by the evil we participated in. Through Adam and Eve, our first kin, cursed when they committed the first sin. Only if you have the Holy Spirit's antennas can you truly understand fallen man's dilemma. See, only a human can substitute for human lives, but only God can take the wrath of God and survive. Yeah. See the humanly unsolvable obstacle? With God, all is plausible. Nothing's impossible. True haters are fighting, but the story is certain.
Yeah.
Two natures united in one glorious person. Jesus, the God-man, official soul reaper. The hypostatic union, it gets no deeper.
I know it's deeper when you keep your mind intent.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deeper when you keep your mind intent.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union.
Yeah.
The Son of God, 100% divinity.
Yeah,
self-existent, second person of the Trinity. Magisterial, imperial at the helm. Infinitely transcending this material realm.
Yeah,
he's so original, getting to know him is pivotal. Behold the invincible, prototypical, holy principle.
Yeah,
possessor of all divine attributes. The omnis, wisdom, grace, beauty, love, wrath, and truth. He's the one that all creation was made through.
Yeah.
And by him, the earth's foundation was laid too.
Yeah.
Ask the angels, they saw it on pay-per-view. Created Satan too. Matter of fact, he created you.
True.
And nothing can escape Jesus' sovereign rule. From the farthest galaxy to the smallest molecule. So who deserves to gain fame?
Who?
By the word of his power, the universe is maintained. In other words, put the cosmos back on the shelf. Without Christ, reality would collapse on itself.
Yeah,
Jesus, the marvelous author of all consciousness. Beyond with the sharpest biologist acknowledges. He needs no archaeologist or smart apologist. He sees our hearts, omnipresent cardiologist. Master of logic, macrocosmic novelist. Following any other god is just preposterous. Yeah, Selah. Let's just let that sink in for a second. Yeah,
I know it's deep, but when you keep your finest sense,
yeah,
Jesus, both God and man, 200%, yeah, fully divine, fully human, introduce it, the hypostatic union,
the hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your finest sense,
yeah,
Jesus, both God and man, 200%, yeah, fully divine, fully human, introduce it, the hypostatic union,
yeah. The Son of Man, 100% humanity.
Yeah.
The mind stretches to understand how can it be. You gotta see what he does, becoming what he was, and while never ceasing to be what he was. Is your mind flipping? Yeah, that got you tripping, me too. But the scripture is true, P. Philippians 2. By faith we believe this amazing Jesus, who made Uranus and Venus, became a fetus. It's such a secret that few, if anybody, knew it. Months later, he's covered in amniotic fluid. The subject of the gospel, praise of apostles, armed with eye sockets, armpits, and nostrils. Who is this Jesus? God clothed in human weakness, super sweetness and peace for the true believers. See the one who never tires, knocked out sleeping. See the source of eternal joy weeping. Which one can explain how the Son, abundant with fame, who made thunder and rain, now has hunger pain?
Huh?
See the creator of water become thirsty on the cross when he saved from the slaughter the unworthy. My awe should be sky high, and I ought to just cry wide with water in my eyes when the author of life dies. Raised on the third, God, man, soul seeker, the hypostatic union. It gets no deeper.
I know it's deeper when you keep your finest sense.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah. Fully divine, fully human. Introduce it. The hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deeper when you keep your finest sense.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah. Fully divine, fully human. Introduce it. The hypostatic union.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how we do it, man. Lyrical theology.
Word up.
Spiritual analogies. The hypostatic union.
Shout out to my man Direct.
Yeah.
Good luck, y'all.
What up, Canada?
Yeah.
That was Hypostatic Union by Shailen. That's Shailene. You find them on mapmode.com, lampmode.com. That's his record label. And check out his music, and if you like it, write. Let's see, next we're going to have, this is Goldfish. Let me see if it's ready. It's going to be the song that is called, this one's called My God. And it's from their VBS 2013, Gotta Move, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
My God is so big and so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big and so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big and so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God.
Everything. has changed, I'm forgiven and new.
If people need proof, may they see it in me.
Let's look the world in the eye. Let's look them in the eye.
Fish with the fruit of the spirit, and next I'm going to do for you in a little bit, also another one from Go Fish. This one's called Gotta Move, and thank you for seeing me, Louis Cantrell, on Trippy Toe Radio, and here we go with, this is Gotta Move from Go Fish.
Thank
There, let's see what we have here. How did you say this happened again?
I was playing basketball.
Basketball, eh? Never really understood the game myself.
Ow!
I see it hurts a little. Well, broken arms usually do smart quite a bit. Bleeding a little there, too. Tell you what I'll do. I'll stick this band-aid on the cut, and it should stop the bleeding, and I'll give you some of these pills to make it hurt not so much. There you go. All set.
Doesn't he need a cast?
Oh, I'm sure he will be fine. Now it's time for my lunch. Oh, boy, I just love the peanut butter and jelly with the pickles.
Are we just treating symptoms rather than giving the cure? Like putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm, pro-life rallies and marriage amendments, though good, are really just treating symptoms. Our culture no longer believes that the Bible is the final authority for life. We need to rebuild the foundations of our faith. To learn how, go to AnswersRadio.com. A message from Answers in Genesis.
Sorry, that was, had to do that because I couldn't find the file, but here is, like I said, Go Fish with Gotta Move. Here, Trippy Tory.
You gotta move. So lift your hands up high and jump with me. And it's the real deal. This ain't no show. Yeah, we got spirit. We're ready, set, go. Got a race to run. We're pulling up our socks. Eyes on the prize and we're out of the box. If you want a bear fruit, come on.
You got the move.
Everybody's got to move. Get up and get grooving.
You know the truth.
Don't miss your chance. Swing it.
Get on your dancing shoes.
If you want a bear fruit,
then you got to move.
Every single day, do we think about talking to them when we walk away? What will they think? Will they make fun? Where will they go in the time under the sun? We gotta be the salt, we gotta be the light. We gotta get left, or we gotta get right. Trying to be sensitive has gotta send a mask.
Put on your armor and take one in the chest. If you wanna bear fruit,
tell it.
Let's see what we have here. How did you say this happened again?
I was playing basketball.
Basketball, eh? Never really understood the game myself.
Ow!
I see it hurts a little. Well, broken arms usually do smart quite a bit. Bleeding a little there, too. Tell you what I'll do. I'll stick this band-aid on the cut, and it should stop the bleeding, and I'll give you some of these pills to make it hurt not so much. There you go. All set.
Doesn't he need a cast?
Oh, I'm sure he will be fine. Now it's time for my lunch. Oh, boy, I just love the peanut butter and jelly with the pickles.
Are we just treating symptoms rather than giving the cure? Like putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm, pro-life rallies and marriage amendments, though good, are really just treating symptoms. Our culture no longer believes that the Bible is the final authority for life. We need to rebuild the foundations of our faith. To learn how, go to AnswersRadio.com. A message from Answers in Genesis.
Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And I want to remind you that you could check us out, truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com, and also on Facebook as Truth Be Told Radio. And as current as this, when this episode made, I got a new design for my logo for the show. So check out the Facebook group, Truth Be Told Radio. And I put there's two options. I went to see which one y'all thought was better. And so please go there, look at the logo. There's two versions, and vote for the one you like the best. And thank you for seeing Truth Be Told Radio. Next, I'm gonna do this is a song, another song by Go Fish called "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You" here on Truth Be Told Radio. Fish, to find them at gofishguys.com and check out their music. They got lots of albums. They're good, and it's aimed at kids, but it's good enough for adults too. I like it too. And let's see. I want to. Okay. Well, good. I'm gonna do. What I'm gonna do next is gonna. Wait. Let me see. Okay, we're gonna wait a little bit, upload a file. Wanna let you know that if you wanna email us, maybe suggestion or a guest or anything like that, if you want, or just want to tell us what you think of the show, you could email us at truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. And if you like, if you send the email, you give us permission to, by sending it to, let us say anything, like maybe read on the air and the suggestions or anything like that. So once again, send it to truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. That's like Gmail, like gmail.com. And I want to also thank you for listening. Maybe if you enjoy it, please tell others about us. Of course, we like having regular listeners and get new listeners. So thanks for listening. And I'm going to see right now. I'm going to play a song. This one is, it's called Look Ye Saints, and it's from the album that is called Diadem, and it is by God's Servant. And here we go, Truth Be Told Radio.
Rise to always back from the mainland. Yo, it's the great I am, it's the slain lamb. Yo, take a clear view with biblical binoculars. Yo, it's the root of David, come see this conqueror. Yo, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah, iron ruler. He's the awesome king, the just and righteous doer. From the throne is coming lightning, peals of thunder rumbling from before the Lord God Almighty. Yo, you can see us after seeing as we admire Messiah, just like us in the days of King Uzziah. Yo, taking the building from the voices of the choir. The house was filled with smoke, it was dope how they cried. Above them stood the seraphim and angelic huddle up with two wings fly, the others used to cover up, screaming holy is the Lord. The whole earth is filled up with the glory that is yours.
Crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Your preachers to people, we are all here, giving our worship to the one thing we all fear. You're looking here around the throne, this mass is shouting, numbering in myriads of myriads of thousands, from every creature in heaven, on and under the earth, all day and night, they never cease but celebrate his worth. And now I know this might surprise you, but the center of our anthem is how he's gathered up a people he has ransomed. How marvelous the God that they had ran from, would spill his blood to pay for everything that they had done. Behold the riches he provides them with. He made the sinless one to be sin, so they could be his righteousness. The old earth is groaning, longing for its sequel, as it awaits the full redemption of the sheepfold. And he has rescued them from evil. He will be their God, and they will be his people.
Crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords, King of kings and Lord of lords.
To see the man of sorrows now, from the and from the fight return victorious, and every knee to him a bow. Now look up, look your face the sight of glorious. To see the man of sorrows now, and from the fight return victorious, yeah. And every need of him a bow.
The detestable and the wicked, the idolaters and the crooks, my throne in the lake of fire. If the names they ain't in this book, so why this time it can be added? It's the only place they face it. The only other name under heaven given is Satan. That of the crucified King of glory, who in all his judgments are unsearchable and ways cannot be scrutinized. Soon he's coming back, send your life to spread his fame. Keep yourself in his love as you eagerly await him.
Crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords, King of kings and Lord of lords.
There, let's see what we have here. How did you say this happened again?
I was playing basketball.
Basketball, eh? Never really understood the game myself.
Ow!
I see it hurts a little. Well, broken arms usually do smart quite a bit. Bleeding a little there, too. Tell you what I'll do. I'll stick this band-aid on the cut, and it should stop the bleeding, and I'll give you some of these pills to make it hurt not so much. There you go. All set.
Doesn't he need a cast?
Oh, I'm sure he will be fine. Now it's time for my lunch. Oh, boy, I just love the peanut butter and jelly with the pickles.
Are we just treating symptoms rather than giving the cure? Like putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm, pro-life rallies and marriage amendments, though good, are really just treating symptoms. Our culture no longer believes that the Bible is the final authority for life. We need to rebuild the foundations of our faith. To learn how, go to AnswersRadio.com. A message from Answers in Genesis.
Once again, thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And remember, check us out, truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com for more about us. And here is next. This is John MacArthur. It's called Persecution, A Price to Pay. And it's from the YouTube page. And let's see. I think there's a little bit more to the title, but... that's why I labeled it as, and here we go. Thanks for seeing Truth Be Told Radio.
I grew up in a very difficult time in that communists took over China. They sent out all the missionaries back to their own country. The country was struggling with poverty, political stability. They tried to destroy all their enemies. They closed all the doors of the church in China. They sent all the pastors to prison. And the slogan was to destroy all religion so that communist could be the main dominant thought. That was the situation. In summer 1966, the government of China sent out thousands of Red Guards to all the Christians' home to gather the Bible, hymn notes, devotional books, and they gathered them and burned them in the square in one day. In all the city squares throughout China, there was a day of burning. It was the burning of Bible. They came to my home to get the Bible. And it was early in the morning, we realized that our house was surrounded by hundreds of Red Guards and soldiers and police. And we just wondered why they surrounded our home. And we sensed something very strange. In that morning, there was a brother who was a farmer. He was on his way home. And he felt the inner urge in his heart to come to visit us. And he said, "Lord, I did not contact them for a while. I did not tell them I was coming. It's impolite to just come, show up." But when he was on the way home, the inner urge was stronger. So he turned around and he came to my home. And just before the Red Guards came to my home to collect the Bible, he knocked at the door, he came in and asked my parents, "What can I do for you?" And my father said, "Take this Bible and go." And he took the Bible and left. And they thought that he was selling things to us. They did not stop him.
When you asked me if God is involved, when a guy rides a bicycle up to the door and you happen to feel prompted to give the guy the Bible, and then 100 of the Red Guard arrive to take the Bible that's now gone with the guy on the bicycle, was God involved in that? Every single detail. Every single detail. God is absolutely sovereign. There's not one rebellious molecule on the face of this earth or in this universe that is acting against his will. Everything is conformed to his will. He even uses evil. He uses everything. This is what theologians call providence. Every detail is controlled by God. The prompting in that guy's heart, the showing up with the bicycle, the prompting on the part of the father to give the Bible, the timing. God has his purposes in all those things. And in particular, of course, with his own people for his own ends. This is clearly the providence of God working.
They came for the Bible. And they came in, they searched the house. They could not find the Bible, so they dug into the floor. They destroyed the windows and the doors, took away all the furniture. They went to the roof. They went everywhere to look for the Bible, and when they could not find it, they began to bring the family outside of the house and torture the family for 3 days and three nights, in which we were not allowed to go to sleep. They beat my dad, my mom, and they beat the children in front of the parents just to force them to deny Christ, and none of us did. They asked my older brother to deny Christ, and they asked him to make a choice. You want communism or Christianity? And my brother said, Christianity. And he was taken out by a group of Red Guard, and they beat him. They beat him until blood came out internally.
There's a common saying among believers, and it is this: the blood of the martyrs always becomes the seed of the church. I'll give you an illustration of it. The strongest church in Asia, the one that Daniel comes from, is the most persecuted church. It's the church in China. You go to Japan. Japan had 250 missionary boards at one time ministering in Japan. All kinds of Christian institutions, Christian ministries, all over. And it is a totally pagan culture. On the other hand, you go to China, and you're going to find several hundred million Christians in a country where Christians were massacred. Why is that? Because that's a purifying process. Hypocrites all abandon religion. They're not going to be phony for something that cost them their life. What is the outcome of that? Tremendous expansion of the gospel because of the credibility that that develops.
And a Christian sister was sympathetic, and she gave my mom $5 and said, "Take your son to the hospital and see what the doctor could do to help him." And they took him, they examined him, and they told my mom that he's going to die. And my mom said, "Lord, poverty and other persecutions are fine, but don't take away my son." But the Lord did not answer my mom's prayer. My brother died. And before he died, he said, "Mom, come and pray for me. I'm going." And my mom prayed for him. And after the prayer, he closed his eyes with a smile. And when the doctors and the nurses saw all the situation, they said to my mom, "The God that you worship is real. We've been here for so long, we never seen any person die in this way.
I am absolutely 100% convinced that the weakness of the church in America, the superficiality of the church, the shallowness of the church, the hypocrisy of the church is directly related to the absence of any cost or any price to pay to be a Christian. If you don't have to pay a price, hey, jump on the bandwagon. If persecution came to America, you'd see a very different kind of Christianity. A whole lot of people who are real eager to talk about Jesus wouldn't be talking about Jesus anymore. Who profess to know Jesus and to be a part of the church, they would stop talking very fast if the price was as high as it is for some people.
By just one person. And likewise, righteousness can enter into history by one person. How could one man save the world? It can. Why? Because sin enter into the world by just one man. And by contrast, righteousness should enter into the human way by one man too, right? So it's fair.
There were many reasons why I wanted Daniel Wong to be on the faculty of the Master's College. But a few of those reasons, and there are many, he's a man of prayer who spends, I think, 2 or 3 hours every day of his life in prayer. He's a man of scripture. He's writing a series of New Testament commentaries. He's a brilliant scholar. But he understands persecution. He understands it firsthand. Our young people don't understand it. We need him. If we can't have it firsthand, we need to learn its power secondhand. And also, he has seen the providence of God work in ways that are life and death ways. And in those ways that God preserves his word. That is a priceless treasure to give to the students of this college who have the privilege of sitting in class day in and day out with him and hearing the word of God and, of course, hearing his own experiences of its application.
Sin used to be a master, and it had us to sin, and we were slaves to sin. We could not do anything else but to sin. But God has broken the ties. We have died to sin, and sin can no longer be master over us.
God is very, very gracious to me that he has brought me here so that I can invest my life in the life of the students here. I work very hard. I make sure that I understand the Word of God and that I communicate it clearly, accurately, concisely, so that people will know how beautiful, how sweet, how glorious, how important the Word of God is, so that they will love the Word, keep the Word, and through all of this, know the God of the Word.
Once again, that was from John MacArthur, his YouTube channel. I think it's called John MacArthur GTY. That means like grace to you, GTY. And I'll play one from Bo Fish. This is This Little Light of Mine here on Tributorium.
This little light, this little light, gonna let it shine, let it shine, gonna let it shine, shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
from the VBS. And I'm going to do next is I'm going to play a song. This one is from Timothy Brindle, and it is, let's see, wait, hold on. Oh, it's not ready yet. Sorry. Well, I'm going to play another one then. This one is from Go Fish, and it's called I'll Do My Best here on Trippy Toll Radio.
I'll do my best. do my best for you. Oh, oh, oh. I'll do my best. I'll do my best. Oh, I'll do my best for you. Oh, 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 oh. I'll do my best. I'll do my best.
Oh, I'll do my best for you. He is risen.
He is risen.
Thus his sacrifice for sin has been accepted by the Father, who resurrected him and exalted him as the infinitely glorious King of the universe. And now Jesus offers himself to us as the all-satisfying treasure and lover of our souls. And this, my beloved brothers and sisters, is the ultimate remedy against sin and temptation. Namely, knowing, enjoying, and worshiping Jesus Christ for his many excellent deeds.
My Lord and Savior, my High Priest and King, and the world's Creator, my Shepherd, my Master, whom I adore and applaud, the image of the Father, you are the glory of God. It's flashing in your face, I'm smothered in your grace, which nothing can erase, cause you suffered in my place. You get all praise from the sin of pleading, though you're finished bleeding, you're so busy interceding. I'm forgiven, cause you made the amazing ascension, you're my wisdom, and sanctification, redemption, your perfect life credited to my account. Yo, I worship Christ forever, kid, I'm a shower. Levitate when I meditate on your excellencies. You bled in my stead, my federal head, you represent me. Your death was a fee, so your elect could be free. Called us effectually, with predestined to be.
For free, because his price redeems us. Exciting me, enticing me to flee lust. Refrain from sin, its ways are grim. There's no greater thing to delight in Jesus. In Christ for free, cause his price redeems us. Exciting me, enticing me to flee lust. Refrain from sin, its ways are grim. There's no greater thing to delight in Jesus.
You're the lion, you're the lamb, you're divine, yet you're a man. You're Messiah and I am, you're triumphant in your plan. Resurrected with all power and might, exalted in all glory and honor, the Father showered in Christ. Full-time worshippers forever were employed. Christ came to give us the full measure of his joy. I was deep in sin and thus repeatedly I would be for him, but he would be for me. But Christ reconciled us to worship the Father, to fulfill our existence, our purpose, our honor. Now I'm cursed no longer, so I offer him praise. If not for his grace, I'd be certain to garner. Now often Jesus consumes me with thoughts of his sweetness and beauty, not some weed or some brewski, nor beer or some ecstasy pills, cause to see the face of Christ is a superior excellent thrill.
Christ for free because his price redeems us. Exciting me, enticing me to flee lust. Refrain from sin, its ways are grim. There's no greater thing to delight in Jesus. In Christ for free cause his price redeems us. Exciting me, enticing me to flee lust. Refrain from sin, its ways are grim. There's no greater thing to delight in Jesus.
Christ, you're excellent, worthy. I praise your Father, he's made me a vessel of mercy. Now show your glory's weightiness to your church, and we'll reflect back the radiance of your worth. You have the power to rule and destroy, but you'll bring us in your Father's presence where there's fullness of joy and blessings forever. Never competitors ever can threaten to sever. You have my heavenly treasure, it's my endless endeavor to honor him. I wanna sing cause you're so sovereign and conquering. My vows do, so I bow to, ascribe value to my God and King. You can't compare your worth to pieces of gold. You're keeping me whole, worship the beast for my soul. Need the control, I can't explain how this suits me. A fiend to behold and gaze at your beauty. And in quiet in your temple, face to face and praise your grace with no desires that are sinful. You shed mad blood to cleanse that crud. You said that was your steadfast love. My master snatched this cat from tragic sadness, gave me the static gladness. He lavished matchless compassion that attracts like magnets attached to cabinets. You bought and claim a weak blind soul, like going once, going twice, three times soul to the God-man who's dressed in glory. Now I rest assuredly because his death secured me. A front row view of his majestic splendor, which will never bore me or be impressed forever. He's a consuming fire, yet he's tender. He's
Jesus Christ, the most blessed treasure. A front row view of his majestic splendor, which will never bore me, you'll be impressed forever. You're a consuming fire, yet you're tender. You're Jesus Christ, the most blessed treasure. All praise to Christ from grateful men. Give praise to him who saves us and takes us in and makes us kings to reign with him. We'll praise with him, the days won't end, so we say amen.
Have
that was It's About the Cross, and that was Go Fishing in That. And next one I'm going to do for you is, let's see, look at my files. Well, first I can remind you that our website is truthbetoldradio.com, so check that out, truthbetoldradio.com, and here is John MacArthur.
In light of some recent issues, Christians are asking, should I render services in my business for homosexuals? That question needs to be answered carefully. If you have a gas station, I don't think you mind if a homosexual pumps gas. If you have a grocery store, I don't think you mind if the homosexual comes and shops there. I don't think we're called to sort out the world that way. No matter what you do in business, you're probably in the economy of the world, in the way things are conducted in the world, interacting with all kinds of sinful people all over the place. If you invest your money, if you put your money in a bank, it's pulled together with people whose lives you wouldn't support. But here's the difference. When it comes to providing a service which is part of the celebration of that sin, I think that's where you draw the line. That word celebration may help you. You could say, I don't mind selling cakes to people who walk in off the street, but when you ask me to bake a cake specifically to celebrate a homosexual marriage, now you've pushed me into contributing to the celebration. You've pushed me into affirming an event that I cannot affirm. I think that's where you have to draw the line.
Here's Timothy Brindle. This one's called Humility, and it's off the Killing Sin Project.
And Father in glorification, before worship of fine angels above, the Trinity within a perfect triangle of love, still with no one else, no need for others, cause God is self-sufficient, fulfilled within himself. Then we can only guess the conversation, but the Son agreed to rescue those the Father gave him. And although this Lord should be worshipped, he volunteered to take upon the form of a servant. The Father commanded, yet asked him to come. So now let's examine the fashion it was done. Let me ask you if you seem confused with this. God passed through his own creature's uterus. I admit this is odd, yet the Bible can persuade me.
An omnipotent God crying as a baby?
No doctors around, no spot could be found to give birth to a child. The only option in town was to be born in a feeding trough with breeding cows and feces. The scene was foul, it wasn't fancy but raunchy. How the Son of God was born next to camels and donkeys. What an awesome feat to drop so deep and cop the sheep. He then stepped down, he took a quantum leap. And I'm amazed how God, infinite in wealth, put aside his fame and limited himself to time and space and eyes and legs. He died to save a violent race whose sin would bring him hell.
Who'd assume that this could be? God became a man penetrating into human history. But he did it completely opposite.
Messiah didn't come in the honor of sire, but humbly wrought in some modest attire. So people miss it, to be specific, the legalistic thought the king would be the richest. And we know we like commodities, but the possessor of all riches chose a life of poverty. Wait, it's not the descendant of David, is this? Yes, and he's descended the greatest distance. He chilled with sinners and tax robbers, amongst his creatures who to him were grasshoppers. He dwelt with the lower class, lowly men, and those known as trash were his chosen kin. And the unbelieving Jews were sick of him. They said,
he runs with a team of stupid fishermen,
and speaks to Samaritans and barbarians. Pharisees stared at him with harsh arrogance. It shone when the Savior took notice of beggars, healed the blind and sick and those with lowest of wages. He even touched those with leprosy, which was seen as the most disgusting known infection, see? Wait, are you kidding me? Watch Jesus go low and watch Peter's souls. What great humility! See, the second person of the Trinity came down to rescue workers of iniquity. Checked his earthly ministry, he didn't make a bed. He had no place to lay his head, but he became bound to his own law. But we found no flaw, was from a rugged town so raw.
slumbered and slept, hungered and wept and sweated. Plunged to our depth, the sum of our depths pathetic. The humblest yet, the humblest depth that's dreaded. The sun is our rest, come under him, get his credit. No question that he's G.O.D., but he laid aside the full expression of his deity. Insert the chasm, no words can fathom how God walked this earth, which is cursed from Adam. No question that you're G.O.D., but you laid aside the full expression of your deity. Insert the chasm, no words can fathom how you walked this wicked earth. He was falsely condemned by Jews and filthy pagans. Now the cross, the peak of his humiliation. No discussion, surely best remove him. He got the most disgusting form of execution. He who sits upon the throne and rules was kicked and stomped and spit upon by Roman fools. Despised by Israel, tried by sinful souls, but was silent when struck by violent imbeciles. And Jesus was able to call down legions of angels, but he was too faithful, gracious and patient with him. Yet he was hated and forsaken by men like Jews. They hated his soul. Judas betrayed him for gold. When it was tough, his crew was afraid, so they rolled. Suckers, they murked him. This suffering servant was beat up and looked like he was cut by a surgeon. Slaughtered, bleeding, gushing, oozing blood. The Father pleased to crush him whom he loved. So he probably didn't even feel the crown and nails. He had to suffer more than that to bring down the veil. Our eyes are haughty and our lives are naughty. The Holy Christ bore our sins inside his body. Yeah, his veins they burst, but no one's pain was worse. Cause the one who made the earth became a curse. And he was one with the Father's essence. Put on the cross, the God of heaven cut off his presence. So I can't share any language that can rightly describe the Christ's despair and his anguish. So forever will I tell, in 3 hours Christ suffered more than any sinner ever will in hell. He who had infinite joy and pleasure became a man of sorrow so we can join forever. He took a cosmic plunge to arm some lungs. On the cross he came to God a sponge to soak up his wrath so the wicked wouldn't be sifted and blown into chaff.
That was Timothy Brindle with the Humility of Christ. You're listening to Trippy Total Radio. Thank you for listening. And I'm your host, Melissa Canchola. And my personal website is smilesandstuff.com. SmilesandStuff.com. You could see my testimony there. And please check that out. And what I'm going to do next for you is going to do, Paul Washer. It's a sermon jam, and it says called You Are Not Dirty Even in the Mud.
I saw someone last night. I dealt a long time with them, precious little girl. She recognized her weakness. She recognized her frailty. She recognized her sin. She recognized there were some things in her life she couldn't overcome right now. But here was her problem. She would see her sin, and because of the work of the devil and sometimes our own heart condemning us, she would put herself in the penalty box every time that she sinned. Well, you can't go to God right now. You can't just keep running back to him. I mean, you sinned yesterday and you repented and asked for forgiveness. Now you've done the same exact thing today. I mean, you run back to him. You're just a hypocrite. You don't appreciate God. You don't have a high view of God. What do you think? God just hands out pardon to everyone? And isn't that what we do? And isn't that what we think? We sin a sin that we've already sinned and already repented of, and because of it, we think we need to put ourselves in a penalty box for a little while at least, a couple of days, and try to work our way back into favor before we come to God. Because if we think, actually, you mean if I go back every time I do this, just immediately, not only going back and asking for forgiveness, but expecting forgiveness, isn't that hypocrisy? Isn't that a low view of God? Isn't that treating God as a forgiveness machine? No, it's being biblical. It's what poverty of spirit is supposed to do to us.
Hi, I'm a weak Christian, and I gave myself a time out.
Welcome back to our Wretched. Is that you, weak Christian? Are you the type of Christian who sins and then shrinks away from God, doesn't dare to read the Bible, and then puts yourself into a chair, you put yourself into the corner, you put yourself on a timeout so that you can punish yourself, so then maybe after some time, some more punishment, then you can maybe approach God. That is wrong. This is risky, but this is right. This is our faith, and you and I must learn to apply this. I don't care which type of weak Christian you are. Every Christian can fall into the trap of giving him or herself a time out, and you should not. Why? If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are gone. Behold, you're new. You're different. And you say, but I don't act all that different or feel all that different. Frankly, it doesn't matter how you feel about your position with God. When you repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ, whether you felt it or not, whether you were tingly and buzzing or not, it doesn't matter. Because God has taken your sin debt, Colossians 2, and he has nailed it to a tree. One in particular, a tree in the shape of a cross that Jesus Christ hung on for which of your sins? Some of them, the not so bad ones. No, the really bad ones, the wicked ones. The all of your sins nailed to a tree, gone. That means, as a Christian, when you sin, you do not need to impose any sort of punishment on yourself because it has already been laid completely and totally on Jesus Christ. And if you are feeling guilty when you sin, your feeling is wrong. Don't misunderstand this. You should feel bad when you sin because you grieve your God, but do not feel guilty because you're not guilty. Think of it like this. You see a child playing in the mud, and what do to cleanse your child? You take him out of the mud, and then you clean him off. And if your child stays clean, well, you don't have to give him another bath. But if he runs back to the mud and gets all dirty again, back to the tub he goes. That's not Christianity. Christianity means basically one time you are taken to the tub, forever cleansed. And you say, but what happens when I fall back into my sin? You're not dirty. You might go romping in the mud, but you are not dirty even while you're in the pigsty. You, if you are born again, never need to be cleansed again. You never need to be cleansed again. Now, that doesn't mean that when you sin, you do not say sorry to God. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, which is what we should do when we sin, he is gracious, he is just, to forgive us of all sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means theologically, Christian, when you sin, God doesn't see you as dirty, and now you got to do some stuff to get yourself clean back up before you can go back in his presence. Or, even wronger, if there is such a thing, you don't sin, get dirty all over again, and then he has to take you through the cleansing process one more time. It's not how it works. You were taken through the cleansing process one time. You are never, ever, ever seen as dirty. That is how powerful Jesus' redemptive work was and is. That is how good and kind God is. That is how God forever sees you if you are in Christ. May I ask you, do you agree with that? Then why aren't you seeing yourself the same way? And if your response is to go, wow, I kind of had a feeling I'm pretty good, you didn't hear me correctly. You're not good. You do sin. I am perpetually weak. All of that is true. But equally true, dare I say even more true, is that you're not seen that way. You are seen as if you're Jesus himself. Do you understand that? You are seen as if you are Jesus himself. And that thought should have at least two, a ton more, but at least two effects. First of all, it should give you great assurance and great joy. It should cause you to perpetually think, wow, our God is amazing, and so is this amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Second of all, it should cause you to desire to not get dirty anymore, to not go in the pigsty anymore. When you recognize you've been perpetually cleansed, you don't want to go back to doing the dirty things. You don't want to do those things because look at what God has done for me. Look at how He has made me. He's promised I'll never be dirty again. Why do I want to go do those sinful things? You know, come to think of it, I actually don't.
That was from the Wretched, that's their YouTube page called Wretched, and WRETCHED, that's how I spell it. And that was one that was about Paul Washer and talking about that, of course, like Jesus cleans once for all. And after, like, the way you're saying it, like the way he's talking about the timeout, that, yeah, I've done that more than once, and I can identify with that one. And here's another one, also from Wretched, and it's called Jesus Offers More Than an Improved Golf Swing, here on True Be Told Radio.
But the reality is, Christians adopt the most. Christians foster the most. Christians give the most. Christians go on mission trips. Christians build houses. Christians are the first ones in and the last ones out. Sir, a lot aren't giving enough, and a lot of people are hypocrites who name the name of Jesus Christ because they still think they're a good person, and they've never humbled themselves and repented and trusted the Savior. Hypocrisy is rampant, and I am certain in this crowd of people that are standing here right now, you went to church as a kid, and you heard stories all over the place, but it never made sense to you. The whole concept is just kind of foreign to you. Here it is in a nutshell. We are rebels. The King will rescue the rebels, and He did it by dying on a cross to pay the sin debt that we have if we will repent and trust Him and Him alone. The King will forgive the rebel, and more than that, He will invite the rebel to sit at His table, and He will serve the rebel. That's the gospel. It is the nicest religion ever thought of. It's an amazing offer of kindness, and if Christianity has always been a hash to you, you are unfortunately told, come to Jesus, and He'll make your life better, He'll improve your golf swing, your marriage will be healed, and your kids won't be as snotty. It wasn't right. That's not the promise of the gospel. The promise of the gospel is bigger and better. It's not about an improved life. It's about a forgiven life. And that's more than an enhanced life. The gospel isn't life improvement. In fact, the gospel offers, chances are pretty good, people aren't going to like you as much. You're going to lose more friends than you ever even realized you have. Won't like you anymore because you are going to become one of those born again, just like Naaman. You ever heard that story about Naaman? Here's the story of Naaman. He was a captain in a, you know what Israel looks like? Looks like this, kind of long like this.
Yeah.
Up on the northern, northeastern side, there's a little country called Aram. He was a captain of the guard, and he had skin disease, probably leprosy. And he heard that there was a fellow named Elisha who could heal people. So he came down to visit Elisha, and he brought all kinds of stuff with him and his guard with him. And they knocked on the door. He sat on his horse, and his servants went and knocked on the door looking for Elisha. And Elisha's command to him was, go down to the Jordan River and bob up and down seven times and your skin will be healed. And Naaman would have none of it. He said, there's no way I'm going to do that. There's cleaner rivers where I come from. I'm out of here. And his servants went to him and pleaded, get off your high horse. Do what the prophet said. Humble yourself and bob up and down that river. And he did. He got off of his high horse. He did what he was commanded, demonstrating complete reliance through a foolish act. And on the seventh time he came up, the Bible says his skin was like that of a child. His humility is what God demanded. And when he got off of his high horse, God healed him. And that's what we must do. His servant said something interesting to him. When Naaman was saying, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. They said, if he had told you to go and do something great, you would have done it. And the reason is, we like to go do great things so that we can say, see what I did? I deserve to be here. God will have none of it. We must get off of our high horses and bob up and down with those other born-agains who say, I'm a sinner, I'm the worst in the world. and God will make you clean, and he will make you whiter than snow.
Like I said, it's from Richard, their YouTube page to get, and that one was called Jesus Offers More Than an Improved Golf Swing. And let's see, what I'm going to do next on Truth Be Told Radio is, let's see, then I'll play a song, this one, let's see. Gonna play. I'll play the mom song. This is Go Fish Sing the mom song. Here, Truth Be Told Radio.
It's a song from my mommy.
How do you say it?
Give me an M.
Uh-huh.
M. M. Give me an O.
Give me an O.
O. O. O.
Being a mom is one of the most important jobs in the world. Some people like think they have to go to, work and regular job, but it's like you could touch the lives of your children even just being their mom. So many things, like it says about you could shape their soul, like as you could teach them about the Bible and help them to know God. Thank you for listening to Tribute Hall Radio. And that was the mom song by Go Fish. And now I'm going to do another by Go Fish. This is called The Old Rugged Cross. once again the Old Rugged Cross and that's Goldfish singing that here on Truth Be Told Radio. And let's see. So what I'm going to play now, this one's called Before the Throne of God here on Truth Be Told Radio. Thank you for listening.
Of unseen things above.
for Truth Be Told Radio. So that was Go Fish singing I Love to Tell a Story, Sweet Song of Salvation. But now we're going to go out as we came in with the B.I.B.L.E. by Go Fish. Bye for now.
The B.I.B.L.E., that's the book for me. The B.I.B.L.E., that's the book for me.